Good afternoon. It is a beautiful Sabbath day, and it's great to be here with the family on God's Sabbath day, spending time together. Got a little bit different arrangements on the seating today. It's a little different with no aisle here in the middle. We'll get used to that. That's a good thing. FaceTime was developed by Apple Incorporated. Then CEO Steve Jobs made the announcement June 7th, 2010, of video calling software. It's amazing that we live in a world that has real-time video while you're on a phone conversation. How many people in here has ever used that, what we're talking about, FaceTime? I see a few people. I was almost to say the young people, they know what I'm talking about here. But it looks like there's a few more matured people that's got a grasp of that also. Well, that's how the internet described it, Wikipedia. But that FaceTime has been around for a long time. You can ask my father. Because when I was just a youngster, when I needed his attention, when I needed that face-to-face communication, I'd grab his chin and I'd pull it. And depending on whether we were in a crowd or whether there was people around, there was all kinds of emotions that could be taught out of that communication. Some was, you could be happy or sad, but you could even strike some anger in a person. There was all kinds of nonverbal communication too. But that face-to-face interaction is what we want to talk about today. And that's going to be our topic. Is we all need FaceTime. Face-to-face contact is valuable for building and sustaining healthy, meaningful relationships. Sadly, as some of you all are aware of, that last weekend we didn't get to take a road trip up to Ohio, largely because my mother wanted to see her first great-grandbaby. And realizing that we weren't going to be able to make that road trip, I made the comment, hey, we'll just get on Skype. You know, that's that in technology, face-to-face communication, and we'll just look at that baby in real time. Well, my mom expressed her great disappointment because she wanted more than the technology could offer. She wanted face-to-face time with her grandkid. She wanted to hold, touch, and even smell the kid. Face-to-face communication is of the heart. It builds trust like nothing else, and rapport that can't be built with technology. This is brought out after study that is done with corporations. They look at FaceTime meetings, face-to-face meetings with people. And even though that our economy's down, it doesn't look like it's very practical. Forbes did a study with 700 business executives, and they say that there's nothing that promotes trust, accountability, and social bonds. It's amazing that this weekend we have a conference that it brings everybody together. That's what the pastors are all at this weekend, face-to-face, and how that promotes things. But technology, even though it's instant communication, and it's so quick, but it doesn't replace that face-to-face communication. And that's what we need to remember, that we need to be a master of that technology rather than becoming a slave to it. You know, I know there's some grandparents in this room that that's how they speak to their children because they're on out west. And their grandkids is by FaceTime, seeing that on technology. What an age that we live in. You know, you used to be able to send people out west and you might not hear from them ever again. Or it may have taken 2 or 3 years, but now it's instant and you can actually see them. What a great world in that sense. What an awesome age. But along with that comes responsibility and accountability. ABC on World News made a report in 2010 that said that kids are spending an average of 75 hours a week looking at screens, either TV or computers. They weren't even counting at that time cell phones, which are becoming more and more prevalent. You know, when there's a problem when a kid goes to camp and there's some and they turn off all the screens and there's separation anxiety because there's a lack of emotional health. The Wall Street Journal did a report on a study that was done by Stanford University of almost 4,000 young girls between ages 8 and 12 years old. In that study, they found the key to the whole thing is balance. Researchers found that girls spend an average of 6.9 hours a day using electronic media versus 2.1 hours a day in face-to-face interaction. In the study, girls reported high levels of face-to-face communication reported strong emotional health, even if they were heavy media users. So it's all about balance. We need to be aware of that and know that that's going on. But, you know, there's a possibility that we can be masters of the tool, of the technology, at the same time realize the importance of face-to-face communication or face-to-face time. Well, what are some areas of face-to-face time? The first one we need to look at is we need to seek face-to-face time with our family. Yes, we need to be talking and listening as to our spouses and to our children. And they need to be doing the same with us. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6 and in verse 6. A scripture that we all know so well. It corresponds with Matthew 28, verse 20, and what Jesus tells us to do. But Deuteronomy 6 and in verse 6 says this, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart." In other words, also FaceTime, face-to-face communication with people, it affects the heart. And verse 7, "And you shall teach them to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, maintaining God's ways is something that we are constantly working on. It's to be in our heart, and it's to be in our homes. You know, I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, I didn't know if it was a good deal or not. These people came to my house and said, "We've got a load of asphalt up the road, and we'd love to pave your driveway. We've got a little extra left over on a job," and you're always leery about that, you know, spur of the moment decision. But I was able to pave that driveway that day. And you never know if that's a good deal. But it has worked out to be a pretty good deal. Not because we don't scrub the bottom of the car when we go into the drive anymore. And it's not even because that we get up and we walk on that thing up and back, back. My kids call it the Alzheimer's course because it's from post to post. You walk up and walk back, you know, up and back and up and back. But you do that for exercise. But how many hours of communication, face-to-face time that we have spent doing that? Susan and I, we've spent hours. Our kids get involved, and that has turned out to be a wonderful thing for our lives. But brethren, find something that you can do that in your life. Whether that's the kitchen table, you know, that we're going to be dedicated and at least start out small, that you're going to do a meal a week together where people can talk. Or maybe it's just a bedtime story where you read to the kids or the kids read to you. But there needs to be face-to-face time with your children and with your spouses. And as we mentioned, face-to-face time with our family, it's also face-to-face time with our church family. It's very important. Let's turn to Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Another scripture we're all familiar with, but it's good to go over them. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You want to change your outset of how you look at a situation, or more importantly, how you look at a person. Notice verse 24 where it says, and let us consider. Consider means we're not jumping to a conclusion like our human nature loves to do about people. You know, they may be down, we want to kick them a little harder. But we want to consider everyone. Consider one another. In other words, think carefully before making a decision about something, event, or someone. Before we come up to a conclusion. It says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembly, in other words, bringing people together, face to face, of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know, set high standards for one another, the standards of excellence. Set the bar high in your life and expect that for other people. Encourage people to get there. You know, when we talk about ambassadors for Christ, to be a servant of God. That's some of the high standards that we set. Exhorting one another. To find out what people hope for. What their dreams are. So much more as you see the day approaching. So brethren, that's point number one. Is that we need to spend face time with our family. Point number two is we need to spend face time with God. Now I know that you look at me and say, we can't see God face to face. And you're right. As long as we're flesh and blood, we are not going to be able to look on God's face. But how do we do that? Well, as we pondered that question, let's turn to Psalms 24, verse 3. Let's all turn to Psalms 24 and verse 3. It says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, you know, Mount Zion, or who shall stand in the holy place? So again, who will be that person? Well, verse 4 tells us those individuals. Verse 4 says, he that has clean hands, and I think that's more than washing before dinner. That's talking about a lifestyle that's subservient and obedient to God's way of life, to his perfect law of love. Clean hands is speaking about keeping God's law. And a pure heart. If you look down in your margin at pure heart, you notice a reference of Matthew 5. That's the chapter of the Beatitudes, attitudes that we want to possess and have. It says, and in Matthew 5 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That sounds like FaceTime. Going back to Psalms verse 4, well, let's go even take that farther. When you're over in Matthew points to 1 Corinthians, which is the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, which says that we see now in a glass darkly, but eventually we will see face to face, which is important too, which sounds like more FaceTime. But going back to Psalms 24 and verse 4, who are these people that will stand on the holy hill? Clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. In other words, a person that is humble. Well, after we went through Passover, we're that kind of people with those people. Nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, being truthful in our lives, following truth, pursuing truth. And when we do that, in verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. What's the blessing? The righteousness from God. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness that is from God and his salvation. Verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face. That seek your face. So face-to-face time with God is very important also. Brethren, I hope in conclusion that we see the importance of face-to-face time. Seek face time with God and our family.